Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. And I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league. So then we've reached round 5 in both the FA Trophy and the FA Vase. There's 16 clubs left in each competition. That means 8 ties apiece to get through. And the weather's looking to play a hand in both. In the trophy, those from outside the top tier have their sights set on a Wembley final they may not have previously expected, but there are still some looking to battle on more than one front this season. All 3 p.m. Saturday kickoffs, if the weather permits. So we have Welling hosting Barnet, Bromley entertaining Avely, Hereford welcoming Gateshead, and Peterborough Sports look to get the better of visitors Kidderminster Harriers. Willstone take on neighbours Hendon, Chorley face Solihull Moors, Bishop Stortford at Colville visiting them, and it's Hampton and Richmond Borough who stand between Macclesfield and a quarter-final. So plenty of room for an upset and a chance for one of those future champion clubs to build those stories upon which such trophies are so often won. But our focus this week is the FA Vase. We have at FA Vase Fact Farm, Mr. Philanets. He's on hand to give us oversight of all the clubs and all the ties in this round. We then get a rare treat. Chairman at Falmouth Town of the Western League, Graham Medlin, doesn't do many interviews. He's happier ensuring the club continues to survive and indeed thrive, with sights even set this year on promotion up to the Southern League. His side faced one of the biggest ever games of their history with a trip to Jersey Bulls in the FA Vase Final 16 this weekend, and it's clear he's pretty proud of all of that too. Rounding up the week's news, including what's coming up in the weekend's paper, editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Badcock, is on hand with his own expert insight. So there's much to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Well, we are at the last 16 of the FA Vase. Let's only one place to go, to the man in the know. Let's give a warm welcome back to the non-league show at FA Vase. Back to Mr. Philanets. Hello, Phil.
Hi, Tim. Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good. This is the last, every round, I think, but the last 16, certainly, all those involved, all eyes on the quarter-final place. We've got 8 ties here, and every one of those ties, has the opportunity to be a history maker.
That's right, yes. So we've got 8 ties where at least one club that's involved in the tie has a chance to set a new club record run in the competition. So that's fantastic that every game has that potential, and there's obviously some of the ties where the winner is guaranteed to set a new history-making run for the club. So there's going to be plenty to celebrate around the country after the games on Saturday. Mm.
And there's some fairly new or inexperienced faces within the competition, but the old hands are left as ever. Have we got 2 former winners still left in the competition?
Yeah, we do. They're still separated. Deal Town and Wickham FC, 2 clubs from opposite ends of the country that still have a chance to get back to Wembley to potentially get rid of that stat that's I love about the Vase. You know, will we get 2 clubs in the final that have both been there before? It's going to be tough for them. Both got away draws. Wickham have got to go to Emily, which is no mean task that would be to get through there. Emily, extremely good form, and Deal Town are playing, I think, Bridgewater United, who are going very well in Western League. So, yeah, 2 very tough ties for the 2 former winners.
Yeah, and after years of domination by the northern Baysides, obviously we've had the restructure, yeah, more accurate pyramid. A lot of those clubs have moved up, further up the pyramid, not in the FA Vars anymore. But it doesn't appear to have changed the or had an impact on the FA Vars. Not so many from, well, I was going to say north of Worcester, but and interestingly, three sides each for two of the southern-based leagues.
Yeah, so the Combined Counties League have had a quite good recent record in the Vars, obviously, with Ascot United winning it last season. And they've still got three clubs still standing, including Jersey Bulls, who are looking to be, you know, maybe one of the favourites to get through to the final this year. And then I think we've got the Essex Senior League also has three representatives in the R16. And again, that's pretty impressive for that league to have so many teams still in with a shout of getting to Wembley. Mm.
And I mentioned, you know, north of Worcester, because we've got the Worcester Derby, Stourport Swifts, Worcester City. The magic of the competition, surely there's a local porcelain maker still in existence in Worcester that's going to create a porcelain vase for this game.
Oh, it needs commemorating. It's a massive game for the clubs. You know, not least that it's a derby, but also that's one of the ties where the winner will get through to the quarterfinals of the Vars for the very first time. So, you know, there's a commemorative Vars or plaque or whatever it might be that they can create to celebrate the fact that one of those clubs achieved history for themselves.
And despite all of this, you know, clubs making history, going further than they've ever been, and, you know, meeting each other for the first time, there's only eight ties, but we've still got one that's happened before.
Yeah, that's right. It did happen quite a long time ago, though. You've got Hallam FC, who host Lincoln United. I think they met 34 years ago in what was the Exeter preliminary round then. So back in the days when the first two qualifying rounds were known as preliminary rounds rather than qualifying rounds. So that shows how long ago it was. Lincoln United won that game in a replay, I think it was. And, so a chance for Hallam to avenge that defeat and get themselves through to the quarterfinals themselves for the first time. Mm. They're already matching their best run, which they've done once before, and that was way back in the 70s, 43 years ago. So, yeah, something, early 80s, that would be it. So it would be a big occasion for them if they can avenge that defeat.
Indeed. And often, I'm sure, because I get asked, but you must get asked where, you know, a number of these clubs are from, because the name doesn't always indicate or give any sort of signpost or anything like that. This round, we've got Hilltop. They're taking on Romford this weekend. I imagine most people know where Romford is, but Hilltop would normally play fairly local to where I grew up, play their home games at the moment in Middlesex, at the home of Hillingdon Borough, but... Mm. This is a tie that's been moved and not exactly near as well.
Yeah, so they're actually playing this tie at Cobham FC in Surrey, so a little bit away from where they would normally play their games. Hilltop are probably the least experienced team still left in the Vars, having only ever got as far as the first round in previous campaigns, so it's uncharted territory for them. And Romford, obviously a big name in non-league. It'll be an interesting matchup to see who comes through that one.
Mm. And I always say that, yeah, there's always a story, isn't there? You know, particularly when once we get to Wembley, that, you know, the journalists always sniffing around for the story around the clubs. But, you know, a game like that that's had to be switched and it's gone to a different county, and you know, three counties involved in it. Is that the one? And you, as you say, you know, they're the most inexperienced in the competition. You know, maybe this historic year could be their year.
It could well be, but what we do know is that, as is seen from all the ties, is everyone's going to think it is their year. It is a stage of the competition where the locals start to get even more interested in the club, and it starts to get a bit of cup fever. And I think it is the last round, which is regionalised, so I think quarterfinals go to a national draw. So there's an excitement there, that the opportunity to play a club at the other end of the country.
Excitement, you say, as we look out at the weather and think it'll be exciting to get any of these games played this weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed. The Vard seems to have been affected by the weather each time it comes around, with waterlogged pitches and then frozen pitches, high winds, etc. So, yeah, fingers crossed that all eight games can go ahead. I know there's going to be some challenges, particularly in the north, of some of the conditions we've had today. But touch wood, we'll see all eight games go ahead this weekend.
And I put to you a question that was posed to me by one listener this week, asking, had I seen your grid lines? I don't know what he was talking about. I think it was, yeah. How you have you got a matrix, a series of matrices for all of these? A very good Excel sheet. How do you spot all these facts every year round then, Phil?
I am a very 1980s spreadsheet kind of guy. Everything is in tabular format in that respect. And, I've got a penchant for spotting trends and noticing quirky information. And, you know, I know where everything is in the files. Nobody else will be able to spot it because my files aren't that well kept. But there's no massive database there that I can just press a button and it will come up with all the facts. It's very old school.
You almost said that, like, because the other discussion was whether you had a series of post-it notes around your room, like one of the, like a 1970s it wouldn't have been 90s, it would have been 1980s, wouldn't it? A cop drama or something, where all those bits and pieces. But as you say, you know where the bodies are buried, then maybe.
I do, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's quite. I can often answer questions quite quickly just because I know exactly where the information is. But don't test me just now. Anyone from the modern age of statistical analysis would look at what I do and think, what's he do? But I know where it is. I know how to find it. And so far, it's proven to be quite useful for helping me dig out the old nugget or two.
Yeah, well, you're still my phone a friend if I ever get there for various subjects. As ever, you've carefully crafted an FA Vars round preview. There's some other bits and pieces in there that we haven't covered for people to imbibe, but plenty of insight, stats, usual facts in there. Where can people find it all then, Phil?
Yes, of course, you can get me on at FA Vars Fact File on Twitter, as I still call it. And you'll see one of my latest posts there will be a link through to my preview, which covers all eight ties, all 16 clubs, with information about how they might get on and what might happen to them as a club in terms of victory or otherwise.
Well, at FA Vars Fact Five, Mr. Philanets, thanks for your time. We'll speak to you again soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tim. Cheers for now.
Well then, let's continue with the FA Vars theme. And a club have been making national headlines for their fans' dedication to make sure that they get their game overseas this round. Falmouth Town travelled to Jersey Bulls this round and are hoping to make headlines on and off the field. So let's find out more from Chairman at Falmouth Town, Mr. Graham Edling. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Graham.
Okay, lovely, thank you.
Well, it's good to get you on. I'm sure most of our listeners will have seen the story a couple of weeks back in the Non-League paper of the F Troop set of supporters via Crown Funding. They've chartered a plane from Newquay this weekend. But I think, weather permitting, of course, it's going to be a bigger Falmouth supporter presence at pretty much every port, every airport across the south of the country than even those, you know, standard armchair Man United supporters that are normally there.
Yeah, there's going to be a fair few. I think, obviously, travelling from Newquay, Exeter, Luton, Heathrow, Gatwick, some are going across on the ferry as well. And I've even been told that some are flying in from Birmingham, I believe.
Wow, yeah. It's like got the full set there. It's and what about yourself? I mean, how are you planning on making the trip?
I'm going out with the team, obviously, as officers of the club. So we're flying out on the Saturday morning. We're leaving tomorrow to stay at Exmouth. So it's an early flight Saturday morning. And hopefully then, you know, get. And I think there's actually a few of the supporters on at the plane we're going on as well.
And when you first became chairman, did you ever imagine that you might be flying to a game?
No, not really, no. Yeah, when I first became chairman, the club wouldn't have been able to afford a little toy plane at the time.
Credit to your website editor as well for some fab stats that are on there. But I found out that this isn't even your longest journey. It might be the most complicated logistically, but it's not your longest journey in the FA Vars. Do you know when that was?
The longest journey, I believe, is way back, but I think it was up to Bedlington Terrace, which
was
is
indeed
the other side of Newcastle.
Yeah. There was a 956-mile round trip to Bedlington Terriers.
That's
in
right.
The fourth yeah. round of the FA Vars. I think that was 2000-2001.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's probably a whole book for FA Vars trips for your club.
Yeah, we've had a few. We've had a few good ones in the FA Cup as well, you know, away to, you know, we reached the first round mm-hmm. proper three times. You know, it's a long time ago, but it's an achievement for a club down this part of the country.
Yeah, first Cornish club to play in the first round of the FA Vars and FA Cup, and
that's
as
right.
you say, yeah, three times in the 1960s. So, plenty of
yeah.
history. You've been involved at the club for probably more years than you probably want to admit to. But is this the biggest game in the club's history? Because you made the quarterfinals previously in the FA Vars as well in 86-87. But I sense the buzz about this game and the opposition possibly eclipses all of that.
Yeah, this is obviously it's a major one for us on Saturday. But obviously we reached the quarterfinals before, which was went up to St Helens and drew up there. And we lost 1-0 at home, which they went on eventually to win the trophy.
Mm. And
you know.
The FA Vars is always adds extra magic as the FA Cup runs. But you know, for most
yeah.
clubs, the league's the important thing. And you're only recently back in the Western League as winners of the South West Peninsula League, the Premier West, I think it was, wasn't it, in 21-22.
Yeah.
That was one of many successes in recent years under manager Andrew Westgarth. He's notched up in excess of 300 matches in charge now and was one of your appointees.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I appointed him. There was a few raised eyebrows when I'd done it because he had never managed before.
Never managed? He's a local lad as well, though, isn't it? So there's a great story
yes,
behind
he is,
it.
Yes.
But as a chairman, sometimes you have to make those decisions that everybody sort of looks at you in fright at.
That's right. When the job became vacant, there was a few, fairly big names that wanted it. But I went down the road, the young lad had to start somewhere, and he's a local boy. He knew the circuit, and we thought, right, I'll give him a go.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for us, it's worked out.
Yeah, it was a great call by you. I mean, the gaffer also not the only long server. I see, James Ward and Luke
yeah.
Brabin is it both over.
Luke Brabin, he had his 250th game last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, in the modern era, we don't hear of that often. But I sense it's because there's a good unit, and it seems to be a lot of pride in the club and in the town.
There is. The club now is doing really well, not only on the field, off the field as well. We're redeveloping the ground. We've got plans to redo all the changing rooms. That's hopefully going to start very soon. And the clubhouse is being done up. We're looking at to do the inside of the clubhouse up as well now. Mm. So there's the future for the club is looking really good.
And going well as well. I saw the, I think your reserve side having a decent season, the under-18s, your reserves are fourth in their division, under-18s, second in theirs. How far can the club go then?
That's a good question, that is. as far as the finances will take them, as long as I'm there, I will not go beyond the means of the club because everything that we do is generated through the club. We've got no money backer or nothing. It's all generated through the hard work of people at the club. So it will depend on what the costings are for any, and obviously the Southern League is their aim this season. Mm. After that, who can say?
Who can say? But you've got to live the dream. You might be at Wembley, yeah, in May.
that would be nice.
looking at this game as well, it should be a good battle at the weekend. I think you both last lost, I think, the 6th of January, the same day at the start of the year. You've played, 21? You've got 45 points in the league. Jersey Bulls in the combined counties, they played 23, 47 points on the on the board. And you're not too shy in front of goal either, are you? There's a few goals flying in this year.
Yeah, we've got a few. We've got a very good defence. I think we've got one of the best defensive records in the league. But as I say, playing over in Jersey, and obviously they're a good side, we know that. Playing on a 3G is going to be different for us, obviously, you know. But you've got to get over these hurdles, haven't you? You know, if you want to win anything, you've got to beat these teams. And that's what we hopefully try to do.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully, the as you say, playing on the 3G, so the weather shouldn't have as much of an impact, but I suppose it may impact on all those doing various travels. Logistically, getting to this on a Saturday game has been hard, but, I mean, how complicated would it have been on a Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, well, you say that. We obviously were playing the Jersey Bulls on the Saturday, and in our league, we're travelling up to Walton Rovers on the Tuesday night for a league game, and that's the top end of Bristol.
You must do some miles. Do you always travel with the team, or do you?
Not always. No, the away games I get to the ones I can get to. I'm always at home games because I do the gate as well, so I'm on the gate with my very close friend Phil Wilkes. You know, he used to play for Falmouth Town, so. But I get to the ones I can get to, you know. But home ones, I'm definitely there.
Well, look, you've already won me over because you're a chairman that runs the Turnstiles. I mean, that for me is it. That's how I know that you're a proper non-league fan. Why do you still do it then, Graham? Because it's not easy, is it?
It's not easy. It's hard work, and it's a you know, sometimes you've got to make decisions which a lot of people don't like, and you know, but you can't please everyone all the time. So, but decisions got to be made by someone. If I didn't do it, someone else would probably do it. You know, so but I, as I say, being a local lad and played local football all my life, it's, you know, just a job that come up, and I happen to be the one to take it.
Well, we're always looking for stories for you know, for those that get to Wembley in the FA Vars, and I think you just set up a number of them there. I know you don't like doing interviews, you don't often do them, so I feel extra privileged that I've had the opportunity to talk to you on the non-league football show. But Graham Medlin, thank you for joining us. Best of luck at the weekend, and who knows, hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Time once again then to head on over to non-league paper towers. It's a welcome back once again to the non-league show. Editor at large of the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Well, yeah, it's good to get you back. Hopefully, looking out the window, you know, you've got your water wings on, or you've got the dinghy at the side. Well, maybe come to the weather later on in the show, but I almost feel there's a sense of normality this week because we're back on the Cup Road Show, aren't we? It's like that, like the essential first cup of coffee in the morning. I think it's sort of without it, you kind of feel lost. So even if your club's not in the final 16 that we've got left in the FA Vars and FA Trophy, it sort of gives you a, you know, it's almost like a sundial, isn't it? Assessment of where we are in the league in the season, so you sort of know where, you know, what's coming next, sort of thing. So fifth round this weekend, last 16, as I say, in each competition. I just hope though that the competition does get the better of this weather that seems to have come in.
Yes, we definitely found myself. Anybody who answered their phone to me today is getting grilled about what the weather's like near them. And whether we've got snow, I've seen some pictures from Hallam and Buxton of snow on the ground as well. So, yes, trying to put the weather aside for now and worry about that if it does cause chaos on Saturday from a paper point of view. But hopefully we will have, as you say, the trophy and the Vars games all going ahead because it's a huge weekend and on that road to Wembley, an opportunity for all these clubs to get into the final eight. And as we've said before, this is this is where it gets really exciting now, these parts of the competition this time of year where, you know, not just in the cuts, but in the leagues where everything, every point matters and makes a huge difference come 5 o'clock on a Saturday. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, as we talk about the Vars, you know, it brings up all these brilliant stories. And I think back to a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Falmouth Town fans and you know, they've chartered a plane to get over to Jersey Balls, and yeah, let's hope that one beats the weather for sure. If everything else goes off, hopefully that one's on.
Well, that's the big thing, isn't it? Because we are, you know, we're at national level now for the competition, so there's some lengthy trips to be had.
Barrel tricks.
I mean, I suppose as a crow flies, Jersey Falmouth, it probably isn't the longest one there, but you know, complications obviously to get to these games. If they were to move midweek, I don't suppose there's much scope in the calendar for them to be anything other than midweek, though.
No, it's definitely looking chocker for the weeks. If you're going to look, to sort of speak to a manager, you can have the fixtures up in front of you while you're having a chat on the phone, and sometimes you look through and you see Saturday, Tuesday, all the way through for so many clubs, and it is always kind of is the case at this time of the year, looking through a daunting set of fixtures. But for these clubs, if they can get those wins, especially, you know, as we get into this latter stages of both competitions, I'm sure they won't mind losing another Saturday of league games if it gives them another cup one and another chance at getting to Wembley.
Yeah, if you're a fan and your club's still involved at this level, I'm sure that they've probably bought the t-shirt, book the train, book the plane as you just said. And they'll do anything to make sure that they're there at that game. Also this week, though, talking of the weather, we saw Truro City announce a new ground share this week. They're moving from their current temporary home at Plymouth down to Taunton Town for certainly going to be playing their games away from Bolitho Park for the rest of the season. Bolitho Park has struggled again this season with Plymouth Parkway and the White Tigers playing on that pitch this season, and the Cornish club have announced that they're going to be playing the rest of their games away, which adds to additional miles for those travelling from Cornwall to support their own side.
Yeah, a difficult decision, obviously, that the clubs felt they've had to make. And as you say, it's the fans who are having to reset their sat-navs for their home games. Obviously, the overall goal, isn't it, is to get Truro back into Cornwall and playing in their true home, but you know, looking at the table, they're not a million miles behind on games of some clubs. You know, they've actually played one. Taunton have played one more, but obviously I think they've sort of had a few games off as well. So you know, I think you speak to any manager and they always talk about momentum and that consistency of games, and that's what they'll be, you know, hoping that they can get, rather than ones off here, there and everywhere, which doesn't help. And you know, they need to get the games in and fighting for survival down at the bottom. Obviously at the moment 7 points clear, and I'll be hoping to use those games in hand to pull further away from the drop zone. But it is it's becoming a bit of a balancing act for all of them, really, to try and get through this period and then hopefully start again looking to return into Cornwall as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, I think that the plan was to try and get back for the summer, isn't it? The summer seems a long way off when I'm looking out at all this rain out the window. But as you say, you know, Taunton sort of hovering around just outside that relegation zone in National South, where Truro are as well, and both of them are behind some of those clubs behind them. So you understand why Taunton would want to take an additional ground share in with their own much publicised problems recently. But again, it adds added burden to, I guess, everybody involved in the club. They need results, but they also need to get those games on. It's that constant battle and juggle between off the field and on the field at any non-league football club.
Yeah, and as we were saying earlier, everything's crucial at the moment, isn't it? And you know, getting those runs of games together and picking up as many points as you can is what everybody's obviously trying to do. So, Taunton have had a few sort of well-publicised issues in recent weeks. They've kind of talked about, been open about, and the obviously the added revenue will be helpful for them as well. So it's going to be a battle down there, I guess, for both clubs. The perfect result at the end of the season, they're both the right side of that drop line.
Indeed. The they'll be hoping to stay in National South, but obviously National League is where we always sort of head to. Chesterfield with another win in the week. That puts them, on 31 points, 80 points on the board already. 22 points clear. They're just the one game in hand now, though. They're heading still for that record-breaking record-breaking number of points in the National League, beating even Wrexham's tally last year. I'm looking at the table, though, and I'm actually, week in, week out, there's a few little shuffles, but to be honest, as tight as it is, there hasn't been too much dramatic movement from clubs either up or down in recent weeks.
Well, I'm going to stick my neck out now and say I think they will do it. I went to Dagenham on Tuesday night, and I think they'll do it now. You know, as you say, 22 points clear, a game in hand. I think they can get there now. If I was a Chesterfield fan, I'd start thinking about ordering in the party food. You know, getting ordered online, ready to pick up. I start thinking about it. It's interesting, though, they're very... There's a lot of talk about the over-celebrating this week, wasn't there, after Arsenal's win on Sunday, and the celebration police have been out. And it was noticeable at Chesterfield that there was very much a, you know, business on we go, clap the fans as we go off, and sort of talking to people, and James Beresford to afterwards, and Danny Webb, you do get this kind of sense that they actually, you know, they are very good at keeping this kind of, you know, they're not getting carried away, they're keeping it right, because they want to make sure that they get over the line in style, and you know, you're not saying they want to go and break record or anything like that, you know, I'm sure they just, you know, they want to just win the league and get the club back into the EFL is obviously the ultimate goal, but yeah, there's a real, so we can see the sort of determination and to kind of keep their foot down, and I think that as we speak, there's seven wins from winning the title. Sorry, one of those games coming up in very soon is Bromley, who are second at the moment. So, you know, that will be an interesting one, but they're just so. Yeah, they're just so sort of comfortable, really. They Dagenham actually did well on Tuesday and got an equaliser at the start of the second half, which deserves a great finish from Ryan Hill. And Chesterfield go up the other end and get a penalty, which Ollie Banks thumped it off the crossbar, and they kind of got a bit of one of those sort of sporty sort of goalmouth scrambles where the ball kind of before it hit the post, hit the keeper, bounce around, and Amano Dobra was on the line to sort of somehow scramble it in, and that's. On how they got their 3 points overnight, but it's they've just been absolutely relentless and impressive. And you know, as we said, we talked about Wrexham and Notts County and all the records that they both set last year, and you know how it would have been a travesty if Notts hadn't gone up after breaking, you know, after putting up a points tally that would have won the league in any other season in history, kind of thing. And here we are, 12 months later, and Chesterfield might go and break that as well. So.
Yeah, what was it? 111 points last year for Wrexham. Technically, there's 118 available for Chesterfield at the moment. And I sense they've gone past, you know, when we've spoken to managers in the past that have gone on good runs and been top of the table and that sort of thing, you get to that sort of point where the nerves sort of move on, don't they? You become a big target for everybody wanting to get their result against you. But I think they've gone past that now where they believe in themselves, I think, probably more than anything, which is why then that luck sort of runs with them.
Yeah, I think they've got every reason to believe. They've got no reason to doubt, you know, the way they are. You know, even the other night, they're able to sort of rest a few players and change things around. And, you know, they're just obviously very well coached, but they've got really good players as well. That's, you know, it's just standout players, and they're just so comfortable keeping the ball. You know, Paul Cook's kind of shouting from the technical area throughout the whole game about patience, and that's just exactly what they are. They were the other night, they were they were just patient. They kept the ball, they moved it around and didn't sort of force it, didn't, you know, try and do anything too kind of crazy. They just, you know, waited for their opportunities. And, you know, it could have been different on another night. You know, Iniesta and Dagenham striker sees a mistake, love the ball, just dropped the other side of the bar. There's kind of a bit of a helter-skelter, last-minute keeper up in the box corners and things where ball, you know, ball can drop anywhere and, you know, it can be a point. But they're, you know, they're earning that luck at the moment as well. And, you know, just very impressive. And, you know, I think it's the other thing, as we've said before, you know, that this one was so close to getting up last year, but they've just brushed that off and run with it. And Andy Woodman was in the crowd the other day, Bromley manager, and you know he was saying, you know, what a good side they are, and you know, it seems to be a lot of respect around the league four and for the team that they are, and how well they've gone this season. And very likely will continue to do so. Yeah.
And also how they're going about it as well, as you say, you know, they're very, very respectful about it. So, as we say, though, there's never an easy game in the National League. This weekend, they're at home to Ebbsfleet United, who, of course, you know, one off the bottom in the table. But, you know, in a bit of a revived sense of purpose, the goalless draw last weekend with Oldham Athletic, you know, showing how little there is to choose between clubs at the top and clubs at the bottom.
Yeah, it is kind of a really tight league this year. Probably the game they don't want to be looking at on the fixture schedule is going to Chesterfield on Saturday, really. But, you know, obviously Kiddy, since Phil Brown's taken over, has done a bit of an upturn in fortunes. And so they're right back in kind of within touch and distance and kind of farther in that relegation zone. They've got a couple of games in hand on the three teams below them as we speak, and a game in hand on Woking. Who are above them, but Woking, you know, very difficult season after last year, winning getting third and getting into the playoffs for the first time, National League playoffs for the first time in their history. It was a complete flip season for them, but they got a huge win on Tuesday night to beat Oxford, and you know that was a massive game. They're now 6 points clear of Oxford with the game in hand, but obviously if they'd lost the other night, then they would have been level on points, and it's going to be like that for the remaining sort of 15-16 games of the season. It is going to be really, really tight. And, you know, you look at Hartlepool a couple of weeks ago, thinking, it's not you know, they're sort of slipping further down. Kevin Phillips has come in, had a couple of good results, and suddenly they're up to 11th on 40 points and 7 points outside the playoffs. Looking the other way, they're only 8 points above the drop zone. So it is really tight. It's going to be, you know, there's a few in those playoff places that look pretty set, and you expect to be in there. But for some hovering around the outside, there's definitely probably an opportunity to try and sneak in there if they can.
Yeah, I think that's probably why, as fans, we actually love match day, probably because you stop worrying about all these various connotations, don't you? I was discussing midweek this week that last hour before a game, fans do get very nervy because then they start, you know, talking about, well, if they win this one 2-0 and if someone else wins 2-1, and particularly if you're involved, you know, maybe down the bottom or looking for promotion, it's they're difficult conversations, and they probably don't help the blood pressure or the human frailties. Talking of human frailties, though, with that managerial merry-go-round, it went crazy last week. It's been spinning, you know, not as fast this week. Last week we did mention that AJ Ashinaki had left Basildon United. I think he won 4 out of 6 games in the 2 months that he was there. He's reappeared back at his old club of Fisher, so back on more familiar ground, I guess. But I get the big appointment this week, in my eyes anyway, is Bromsgrove Sporting. Out goes Michael McGrath, and in comes Tim Flowers.
Yeah, he's back in, and we're looking to have a big impact straight away. So as you say, they're kind of clear of the relegation zone in many ways. I think it's nine points at the moment, but obviously we can quickly turn around. Sudbury
have got two games in hand on them, and they're two places above, so we're occupying the last spot in the relegation zone at the moment. So, yeah, they need to come in and get some wins as quickly as possible, and that's what we'll be trying to do and have that impact. He's had a few different jobs since Solihull, where he was really, Tim Flowers, where he's kind of really made his name in management as such. Obviously, I know he's a big name player and all that he kind of achieved, and he went into coaching as well, didn't he? But kind of that's kind of been his big sort of flagship job so far, where he's really, he almost got them promoted and things from the National League. So looking to go in and have a big impact, but it does seem to be that time, as you say, of the season now, where it's time to stick or twist, and clubs are going for it and trying to make those changes that will hopefully lead to better things.
Yeah, I'd expect to see with the registration deadlines looming as well in all the leagues. You expect to see a number of other managerial changes up and down the pyramid, but then also a revolving door probably in many places to get those players in to make sure that they can build a side that either if they're struggling against relegation or pushing for promotion, make sure that they can push that for that final third.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing, though, isn't it? It's kind of the table doesn't lie where you are is where you are, and it's these little deciding whether to bring somebody in. If you're going well, do you bring somebody in? Risk of any sort of upset if you're struggling, how much do you change, do you need to change, you kind of stick with what you are. It's kind of all the different things that kind of go into a manager's head, I imagine, when they're sort of away from that training ground and thinking and plotting with their management team about how they ultimately get that 3 points on a Saturday. And it's a unique job and lots of pressures, and not certainly not one I think I'd want to be doing.
Well, I'm looking at other departures. Those looking for new roles. Adam Stevens departing at Colville Town. Harrison Williams, he's out at Egham Town. Michael Shin, he was shown the door at Newmarket Town. I think that they were second in the Eastern Counties League, but that's not good enough. And we've spoken in recent weeks about various high profile, great pedigree, long CV managers that are sat out there. It's a cold, wet February afternoon. You've really got to be dedicated to the job to want to get back in the dugout, haven't you? It's a dangerous job.
Yeah, especially this time of year, as you say, sort of in that cold and wet. But that's why that's why people love it, really. They love getting out there and being trying to achieve things, and so we often see the sort of this side of it, where managers have gone. You talk about Adam Stevens there leaving Colville, and you think of all the highs that they've had in the last sort of couple of years, and went to the final day last season, the title, able to win and win the title, and obviously missed out to Tamworth, and now you look at Tamworth top of the National League North and thinking about getting into back into step one, and Colville, yes, they're mid table, but they've had the last couple of years good cup runs and trophy runs under Adam, and he's it's a club he took to the Vars final quite a few years ago back in 2010, I think it was. So he's done an awful lot there, and now finds himself looking for another job, and you sort of see this side of it, the sort of downside. But I guess it's the flip side, and when you do win those things, when you do get promotions, that kind of we're all watching football and all chasing football for that that enjoyment and that escape from everyday life, and that's kind of what it's about. And fortunately, as we know, not at the end of the season, there's only a few people who are celebrating and popping the bubbly, and everybody else is working out how they try and do that next year.
Oh, exactly. I was discussing that with some a couple of managers, step three this week, discussing how the fact that actually two only go up from step three, but four go down. So there's going to be a lot more frowns on managers' faces come the end of the season than there are at the start of it. We don't want to play the magic of non-league down, though. So we should also mention the upcoming non-league day. The non-league day website now has a match finder on there as well for those looking for somewhere to head on the 23rd of March. Plenty of clubs offering discounts, special events, but obviously if your club hasn't announced anything, give them a nudge, see what they can do. And if you have a home game that weekend, it's amazing what sort of impact it can have on that attendance and also the weekends that follow as well. I'm sure you're going to be having plenty of coverage on non-league day as well, though, Matt.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I think the thing with non-league day, and obviously we speak to James often, as you do, and this sort of brilliant, it's such a simple idea that he came up with all these years ago, and how it's snowballed and exploded, and he deserves so much credit for that, and so many other people do for, the hard work they put in, the support that they've given non-league day over the years. And it's interesting though that each year, each time it comes around, there's more people, more new fans to get into non-league grounds and show them non-league and kind of show why we all love it and what it means to us and why we think it's so valuable and the real sort of, I feel like, the heartbeat of football in this country. I think this is it. This is where everything around it is all well and good, but I think this is where it really is the soul of football in this country. And yeah, there's always people out there who've never been to a non-league game, just need that invite along to come and watch, and they might be hooked as well. And we all have different reasons for why we love non-league. So obviously there's some fans watching non-league who don't really want to be because they want their clubs back in the football league. But I still always feel like when they do come down and watch their team at these levels, they do ultimately overall enjoy it, kind of thing. The way non-league football is when you go in that ground on a match day and how that makes you feel and what it's all about. And you think of hundreds, thousands of people giving up all their time during the weeks for their local clubs, and that's just it's just an amazing thing that we've got going on in this country. There's more people out there to kind of come and watch, and I think more and more people are, there's so much more profile on non-league, and it's really, things will go on, and sort of family members who aren't kind of that tuned into what's going on will sort of mention, oh, you see about Maidstone and things like that. It really does kind of transcend now across lots of, with new media and then the amount of coverage that people are able to give it. It's brilliant. And long may that continue, because I just think there's so many people out there who love football, watching football, but they're not enjoying it. They're not enjoying forking out all the money that they do to go and watch their team and everything that kind of comes with it. And they could just go and watch their local club 5-10 minutes from their doorstep and have just as every bit of good experience and watch every bit of good competitive game of football and come away really feeling part of something like that. Their money through the turnstile actually mattered. So it's going to be another great day and great weekend, and I'm sure many clubs will be putting their heads together now, working out how they really make the most of it. It's always fantastic to see the offers and the great ideas and often the quirky ideas that clubs come up with on non-league day.
Yeah, and as you say, it's getting people into the ground that have never been to a non-league ground before, and they don't necessarily have to be big fans of football. It's great if we can get those as well, but I sing the praises of one of the volunteers that I've got down at Hayes and Yedding United, John Highlands, John the Gate. If ever you come to Hayes and Yedding, you'll invariably be greeted by John, who came down invited along by one of our other volunteers there, and runs a show for us now, car park wise and behind the scenes. Doesn't get to watch much of the game. He did actually see a goal the other day and celebrated that one, but normally he's stuck outside in the car park organising that. He's there for the vibe. He's there for that extra bit of magic as to why we all love non-league. So even if you've got a mate at work that doesn't necessarily like football, I think if they're completely opposed to it, you might be on a slippery slope, but get them along. See them. There may be just the crack that you enjoy at non-league may be right for them. And, who knows, we might be able to add to the swell of volunteers that keep non-league ticking along. Plenty of action then in the league this weekend, hopefully, if the weather holds off, Matt. FA Vars, FA Trophy, anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, we've got all of that. As you say, a big weekend in Trophy Vars and all the leagues across the country. We've caught up with, talking of people dedicated to their club. Obviously, Frank Rothwell came in at Oldham and saved them from the brink, and
and currently as we speak is somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. As I'm sure, you know, many 73-year-olds are, 73 years old and he's rowing across the Atlantic, you know, he could be sat at home watching Countdown, for like my parents are, but, you know, he's there out in the middle of the Atlantic, 400-odd miles off the Antigua coast, rowing from the Canary Islands all the way across there, trying to raise over £1 million for Alzheimer's Research UK, which is a fantastic cause. And he phoned in to one of our guys on his satellite phone from the middle of the ocean, where he was currently parrot anchored, trying to not go backwards because the wind was the weather was so bad. So caught up with him because he's coming towards the end of his epic journey next week, all being well weather wise. As you said about AJ, actually, Knight going back to Fisher, I've spoken to him about, you know, feels like he's going home and going to kind of continue what he left to go to Basel, which didn't quite work out as he'd hoped. Also got with Andy Welsh at Guiseley, sort of just hovering. I got a great win, 4-3 win against Radcliffe last week. Just hovering outside the playoff places in the Northern Premier League Prem. He's looking forward to the next batch of games and trying to break into the into those playoff spots. Colleague John Couch, spoken to Cole Skuse, Bury Town manager. It's his first season as manager down at the Blues, and he's they've been on a fantastic run recently. Bury have gone from sort of mid table right into the playoff places in the Isthmian North. So we've caught up with him and kind of how he's gone from his pro career at Ipswich and Colchester and how he's finding non-league management. So plenty in there. As I said, a bit of reaction from Chesterfield the other night. James Berry's in form. He's got three goals in his last four games and might be 4 and 5. Can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, he's absolutely flying there and enjoying being part of something, having joined from Macclesfield at the start of the season. So plenty going on this week, and as you say, hopefully lots of cup and league action too.
Yeah, well, as ever, thank you very much for all of your help. We look forward to reading all about in the non-league paper, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim.
And then that is it for this all week. Good luck to all of those in action in both the FA Trophy and the FA Bars, and indeed in the league action as the divisions begin to hot up. A big thank you once again to all of my guests and for everybody for listening to. And don't forget to get involved on social media at Non League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And you can find us on Audio Boom every week, as well as on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GF7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe then, enjoy your football, thanks for your support and goodbye.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.